Do you know what time it is? It's supernatural story time. And if you're easily scared, and even if you're not, there's only one thing left to do. Just turn off the lights, because these are stories that you listen to only in the dark. Dark Silhouettes and Other Strange Stories, Volume 4, Story Number 1. This happened back at the end of December of 2021. I was working as a security guard in a big museum, which is the former castle of Augustus II of Saxony. We had to shut down because, you know the reason, and didn't have much work to do. Mostly I and my co-workers had to come in because we had to look after the workers who fixed the electrical stuff such as lights and chandeliers. It was the perfect time because nobody else was allowed to be in the castle, so they could work at their own speed, which meant for us security guards that we often had to be there for 10 to 11 hours just looking after those guys, if they even showed up. Sometimes they just didn't. Because it was in the winter, it became dark very early, meaning it was sometimes kind of creepy walking all alone through the big halls of the castle. But nothing was as creepy as the stuff I experienced in the antechambers and throne room of Augustus II. Those rooms were the main attraction, covered in golden ornaments and red royal carpets on every wall, all remade by hand after most of it got destroyed back in World War II. There was this big iron door at the first hall separating the chambers from the rest of the museum. I once had the shift that would walk around the west part of the second floor to close all the doors in the evening, from the tower room to the end of the chambers. It was all going on well until I stood in the second antechamber, just before the throne room, when I suddenly heard steps from the exact other side of the wall. There was the former garter robe of Augustus II, as well as some of its wives' dresses. The rooms originally led to the bedchamber, but were separated by a big, heavy oak door that was hard to open and was loud if you did so. Now, there were those steps. I turned around, looking into the first antechamber, but I saw nothing. The big iron door was still closed, so I went through the hall, around the corner to the garter robe room. Maybe someone from the castle used one fire exit to look for something in the exhibition, but there was nobody in there. Even as I walked around the whole two rooms, looking in every corner, I found nothing at all. So I went back. I was now in the throne room, and just as I entered it, I heard those steps again, but this time, they went exactly from one of the garter robe rooms right into the bedroom, which was separated by this big oak door. I rushed into the bedroom, looked around, and there was nobody. The big oak door was still closed. The steps had vanished. I got out, since nobody was in there, and told this to one of my co-workers who was waiting outside so he could finally turn on the alarm system. I even asked him if he saw someone coming out of the exhibition, which he answered with a no, but then he told me that this is not the first time someone heard steps, especially in the chambers. A few other security guards encountered this exact same phenomena, and nobody explained what this is. Jokingly, he said that some believe Augustus II is still just walking through the golden chambers, checking if we protect them the way he wants to. Story number 2. What most people don't know about prisons is that they normally have a lot of support personnel and additional features that most never use. This story involves both. Normally, the first thing that gets built in every prison, along with the foundation, is the tunnel system. This has been the case even back into the 1800s, given the fact that my old prison had it running under the whole place. What the original purpose was back then, I don't know. But now they are used as emergency escape during a critical incident and for critical systems access. The maintenance staff at prisons are very diverse in specialties, from heating and cooling technicians to electricians to locksmiths, as the place relies on locks to keep prisoners in the facility. You can imagine the facility locksmith is normally busy. So, this is the story. Bob had just finished fixing the holding module's lock for the third time this month. The repeated use of the lock caused it to fill with metal shavings that would eventually jam the mechanism, and he would need to swap it out with a spare and repair the one he removed. The toolkit gripped in one hand and the lock in the other, Bob proceeded down the secured stairwell that led to his lock shop next to the facility. Arsenal reaching the bottom of the stairway, he set the lock on his toolbox while he struggled with his key to find the proper one to open the door that allowed him into the hallway. Struggling with the door, which was assisted closing with considerable weight, he finally managed to open the door and walk through. The hallway was dimly lit, more out of expense than function, and linked the arsenal, lock shop, emergency tunnels, and emergency exits. The exits were linked to the arsenal and lock shop directly to allow immediate egress, and the tunnel had a simple metal gate with an oval diamond pattern that allowed you to see through it. 15 feet past the door of the tunnel, the lighting became so bad that you could barely see anything. Bob waited for the door to shut all the way, looking at it as it did until he heard the lock audibly click, then checked to make sure it was secure by testing the handle and pushing against the door. Finding it secure, he turned and began to cross the hallway to his locked shop door when the damaged lock tumbled off the toolbox, clattering to the concrete floor with a loud ringing clang that reverberated through the hallway and down the open tunnel. Shaking his head at how forgetful he was being, Bob bent at the waist to pick up the lock. Grabbing the lock with his free hand and rising, he found himself standing only 5 feet from the gate that stood in front of the tunnel. As he looked up from the lock he had just recovered, he saw what looked initially like a swinging maintenance light. The tools were used frequently down the tunnels and catwalks around the whole prison. It was cheaper to give everyone in maintenance a portable light that attached to the electrical outlets than it was to put proper lighting in every nook and cranny. Looking closer and approaching the grate, he realized that it was not a maintenance light. The light was orange like a flame, not yellow-white like their maintenance lights. As Bob looked closer, shielding his eyes from the nearby ceiling light, he allowed his eyes to adjust to the dark as he thought he heard the creaking sound of a metal hinge echoing in the distance. Thinking that possibly something may have broken loose down the tunnel, he set down his toolbox and the lock as he began to grab for his key, still looking down the tunnel. As he found the key to the gate, Bob realized he could see a figure down by the light. Breathing a sigh of relief, he began to take in a deep breath to yell down to the other maintenance man down the tunnel. But he stopped short as he got a clear look at him. The light wasn't an open flame or maintenance light. It was an old 1800 style lantern, and it seemed to move in time with a metallic hinge creaking sound. The man holding the lantern appeared to be very white and wearing striped clothes. Backing away from the gate in shock, Bob watched the figure fade away like a fog lifting off the ground when the sun rises. Note, prisoners in the Michigan Department of Corrections wear blue and orange uniforms that are styled with primary blue, trimmed and numbered in orange. The prisoners have not worn striped uniforms since the early 1900s. Next story. In 1998, I worked as a security guard at a local Christian college. The first night on the job, I was told it was my responsibility to patrol the campus all night, make sure the main doors were locked, and to make sure that all the lights were off in the chapel and it was locked by 11 p.m. Standard stuff. So I started out walking around campus, getting to know a few students and just feeling everything out. When 11 p.m. came, I went to the chapel and went to the basement first. Getting to the bottom stairwell door, I realized it wouldn't open. I pushed on it 4 or 5 times, but the door seemed locked. So I went back up and out and went to the back door. The basement is locked down, all the lights were out, and everything is secure. I went over to that stairwell door, and it opened easy for me from the outside. I figured it was just how the door was made. I went back upstairs, went to the stage where the light switches were at. I looked up and I saw what looked like a kid in the balcony. I yelled for him, but he didn't answer. I climbed the stairs to the balcony, but oddly enough, when I got up there, I couldn't find him. I got creeped out, but I figured it was late and I was just seeing shadows. So I went back down, cut all the lights, and locked up the chapel. 3 a.m., I went for the full campus rounds just to check up on everything. Heading across the quad, I noticed that the lights are on in the basement of the chapel, as well as the front spotlight. Went to the basement back door and found it was still locked. I went in, cut the lights, and as soon as I did, I heard a long, loud bang in the stairwell. I ran in there and up the stairs thinking I'm chasing someone, but there isn't anyone anywhere. I went back down, left the back door, and locked it. As I walked around, I noticed the spotlight was off. I checked to see if it could be a motion control, but quickly found that it was not. Since it was my first night, I decided not to say anything. The second night changed that. I again had weird experiences around the chapel, but at night too, I also heard weird crying sounds in the woods on the north side of the campus. I ran my flashlight through the trees, but I saw nothing. Later that night, I saw two strange hooded teens down on the southwest side near where the tennis courts are. I tried to get close to them, but it seemed like they were constantly moving 20 or 30 yards away from me. No matter how fast I moved, I could never catch up. As I kept following them towards the edge of the campus, I heard a student yelling behind me, and I jerked my head towards the sound. When I turned back to look for the hooded figures, they were nowhere in sight. Out of breath, I walked back to the quad and sat down on a bench to collect my thoughts. I lied to myself and decided that everything was normal, and I'm just not used to staying up so late. All my rounds went okay for the next few hours, but at my 3 a.m. walkthrough, I saw the lights in the chapel are on again. I checked the doors and windows, but they're all securely locked. I unlocked the main door and walked through the foyer and heard what sounded like shuffling coming from the stage. I looked, didn't see anything at first, so I got behind the curtains to make sure no one was backstage. After making sure it was all clear, I flipped all the lights off. In that split second before everything went dark, I suddenly saw a group of dark figures in a circle appear on the stage, and then total darkness. I flipped the lights right back on, but once again, no one is there. I just flipped the lights off again, this time without looking, locked the door, and went back to the quad. Thankfully, the rest of the night was quiet. The next shift I worked, I decided to call and ask the guy who hired me and owned a security company about the weirdness. He said that one of the other guards would drop by and basically debrief me. The guard who showed up was a 300 pounds of pure muscle, Cherokee beast of a man. I told him everything. He said, "Yep, that sounds about right." He then proceeded to tell me that everyone who worked there overnight had some experience. He said that the stairway doors actually do not lock, but that he himself had spent 40 minutes one night locked between floors. He told me that he had thrown all his weight against both doors, but they would not move, and that every time he tried, he would hear this crazy laughter. He said he had chased what he thought were teens through the downstairs hall just to watch them disappear. That another guard had walked into the chapel and stumbled into what looked like a sacrifice with occult symbols drawn on the stage, and had chased off people on cloaks only to find that all evidence had disappeared when he came back after trying to catch the cloaked figures. He also said that occult symbols were constantly being found on campus and that it was my job to gather and dispose of them. I nodded in shock, but felt relieved that I wasn't just losing my mind. I continued to have weird experiences on that campus. Even though nothing violent ever really happened to me, the atmosphere began to take on an undertone of malevolence. I started to dread every shift. Needless to say, I didn't stay there long. Next story. So I used to work as an overnight security guard, and where my office was at the entrance of the building and was maybe 15 or 20 yards from the front door. Now this front door was a set of automatic sliding doors. First one led from the outside into a little area where you could set umbrellas or dry your shoes, and then the second door opened into the facility. The second one had an automatic lock that locked at 10 p.m. You needed a key card to access the door, and only one night shift nurse or aides and security had key cards. Remember this for later. Now, I'd worked there for about 4 or 5 months and nothing like this ever happened. But one night, I was in my office watching the cameras, listening to music at a low level so I could hear if someone came walking in and needed me. And I heard the second automatic door open. Now, I just thought it was one of the nurses that liked to take the long way to her unit. So I looked over to say hello, and there wasn't anyone there. Then I thought someone must have left and I didn't hear them walk past. Then about 5 minutes later, it happened again, and there wasn't a single soul that walked past me. So I found the two cameras that showed the inside of the area between the two doors and the cameras that showed the view from the entrance to my office to that door, and I rewound the footage to just before, and lo and behold, there wasn't anybody in the door that had just opened. So now I thought that it might be a mechanical error. So I went and walked out and tried to walk back in, and I had to use my card since it was locked. So I made a note for my boss and went about my shift. Fast forward to the next night. He left me a note saying that maintenance looked at the door and it was fine, nothing was broken. 2 hours later, the door opened and stayed open. So I closed my office door fearing it was an evil spirit. Then the door shut and opened again and then closed. So I opened my door and asked it questions. Are you evil or good? And it opened and shut quickly to tell me it was a good spirit. We decided an answering system. Hold open for no and open and close fast for yes. And just a series of questions later, it was just a good spirit just checking on me. At least I hope that's what it was. Next story. To begin, I'm a security guard for a small hospital in southeastern Kentucky. We're like a little family here, and whenever something creepy or strange happens, it spreads quickly. I always enjoyed hearing their stories. I was always kind of bummed out that I never had anything noteworthy to tell. Until recently. I was heading back to post after my rounds when I ran into a buddy of mine that worked in housekeeping. We started talking and the night was slow, so he asked if I wanted to go outside with him while he took a smoke break. I agreed and followed him to the elevator. As we rounded the corner to the elevator, we ended up behind a man who was apparently headed the same way. This is where things get a little strange. In the short distance we were behind this man, I could hear him talking to himself. He was just kind of mumbling. As we reached the elevator, the door opens and someone walks out. This is when I hear the man say, "I'll be there soon," and turn into the elevator. When we walk in behind him, we just kind of froze. The elevator was completely empty. I was shocked. We just stood there dumbfounded. After a second, we went downstairs and, needless to say, had a decent little story to tell. Next story. So, a couple of years ago, I worked at a hospital as security. And part of the security duties for the second shift was to lock all the doors downstairs in the basement of the hospital. The type of things down there range from offices, supply rooms, bathrooms, and the morgue. We would have to go to check the refrigerator temp inside the morgue to make sure it was running properly. But that's not important. So one night, I go down to the basement, which is basically a big rectangle, locked all the doors, and just as I was going to make a right to take the stairs up, I notice someone walk out of the corner in what looked like blue scrubs. Take about 5 steps into one of the doors I had just locked. They didn't open the door or anything, they just walked right in. As security, I couldn't just brush this off because recently we had people steal from the supply room. So I had to check it out, especially since it was after hours. As I walked up the door, I immediately got goosebumps because this specific door was 1. An automatic locking door that can only be accessed by ID clearance. 2. I didn't see the individual pull out an ID, which you would have to do in order to get in. You pull out your ID, scan, wait for the green light to pop up, and then open the door. I literally just saw someone take about 5 steps into the door like it was wide open, which it wasn't. This door automatically locks and closes itself. So I think to myself, well, if somehow someone accessed the door after hours, they aren't allowed to do this, so maybe the person is stealing stuff. If a nurse or someone needs to go to the supply room, they call security and security escorts them because of stealing incidents. So I pulled out my ID, scanned it, and opened the door. I walked in and saw nobody. Then I opened all the closet doors to confirm nobody was hiding, and then immediately got the the F out of there because I was 100% sure I just saw a ghost. Later that night, I got a call from the ER department to escort a nurse down to the supply room. I escorted her down to the basement into the supply room and then told her what I saw. She then shuffled through some boxes in the supply room and pulled out the same exact looking light blue scrubs that I saw the ghost wearing, except they weren't scrubs. They were the blue gowns patients wear inside the hospital. So what I saw that night was a patient ghost walking around the basement. After this experience, I definitely believe in ghosts and the afterlife. Till this day, I kick myself for not looking at the cameras that night. Next story. I live in Melbourne, Australia, and there used to be a mental asylum called Larendel, built in 1938, but eventually closed down in 1999. I was told about this place and how haunted it was with people hearing creepy things. I was keen to check it out. More than 10 years later, I still can't explain what happened in those 3 or so minutes that we were there. It was 2011. One night we drummed up this stupid idea because we were bored and had nothing to do. So me and 3 mates decided to go check out Larendel because why not? The asylum at the time we went was being prepared to be demolished for new apartments. So most of the entrances and windows were boarded up with wood. The building we parked next to was surrounded by a metal makeshift fence to keep people or squatters out and had a security patrolling the grounds. One of my friends was strong enough to lift the metal fence that wasn't properly attached, which allowed us to crawl under and get inside the property grounds. It was all fun and games. We were having a good time, the feeling of doing something you're not allowed to and trying not to get caught. You know the feeling. We were constantly on the lookout for the security officer patrolling, but also trying to look for a doorway inside. When we finally found one, we walked inside. We were scared a little bit shitless, mind you. We all put out our torches on their phones and shone the light inside. When you walked in the door, it was a small entrance area that led into a main room. We walked a little closer to the main room to get a better look. There were no windows that we could see, just a simple room. Mind you, this all happened in 30 seconds, so we didn't get a proper look. In front of us on our left was a staircase, I think, leading up, and the walls were covered in graffiti. We didn't see anything paranormal. It was scary enough just being there. It had been only 10 or 15 seconds of us standing there when we suddenly heard footsteps approaching. The crunching sound of the gravel grew closer and closer from behind us outside. We immediately shut off all our lights and were left standing there huddled together in the darkness. We couldn't see anything. I might as well have had my eyes closed, but they were wide open, expecting something to grab me. We had our backs to the door behind us, waiting for the footsteps to hopefully walk by, thinking the security guard must have seen us. As the crunching of the gravel was fast approaching us, we all instinctively held each other's hand, waiting for the security guard to bust us. We stopped breathing as the footsteps came to a halt behind us. The sound was unmistakable. The crunching of the gravel stopped. We just stood there. The silence was deafening. The darkness swallowed us. Neither of us turning around. It felt like eternity, but we stood there for about 10 seconds, waiting for something, anything, a sound or someone to say something behind us, or a flashlight to shine in on us from outside, but nothing. It wasn't until one of my friends turned around slowly, and there was no one there. He finally broke the silence and said, "Let's get the F out of here." And we bolted out the door and back to our car. Neither of us saw the security as we raced out the door. We got in the car and left and never went back. Still, 10 plus years later, I think about those footsteps and how no one was there when we turned around. We never heard the footsteps receding as we stood there in the silent darkness. Even if it was a weird prank and someone was there, we would have heard the footsteps running away. It was so quiet you could hear a pin drop. It just stopped directly behind us. It's something I'll never be able to explain. Unless it is explainable and I'm just being dramatic. We all remembered it exactly the same way. I wrestled with the memory for a while thinking I was misremembering. But after checking with my mates, again after so long, we all heard those footsteps behind us. There's no doubt about it. Chalking it down to scary, unexplained moments that could have gone differently if we stayed to investigate. but the whole experience was eerie and unsettling from the moment we shut off our lights and were left standing there in complete darkness. Next story. I worked at a funeral home in South Florida for around 8 months. I never had an anomalous experience involving apparitions, spirits, or anything of that nature. When I first started working there, my boss and other co-workers had told me of their paranormal experiences at the funeral home. One of my co-workers, a Brazilian woman in her 60s, had to sleep at the home one night during a tropical storm. She was woken up in the night by the sound of footsteps. I know it sounds cliche, but this is how she told the story. She was sleeping in the kitchen, where we have a television screen which displays the view from several cameras throughout the home. In one of the cameras, she could see a woman standing in the middle of the room by the entrance. Thinking someone had broken in, she ran to the entrance to find no one there. Also, the entire building had a security system and alarm that would go off if anyone had opened a door or window. This story freaked me out, but it wasn't until this one day we were cleaning up after a funeral for an elderly woman when things got weird. It was just me and the Brazilian co-worker in the building at around 8 p.m. As we were cleaning the chapel where the decedent's casket was, we both heard a woman humming and speaking. It was a deep ambient sound, almost sounded like it came from right above our heads. I felt it all through my body and freaked out, to say the least. I worked there for another few months, ended up leaving because the pay was dismal, and I found another job. But I did go back there and work again, and I found the situation intriguing, but scary as hell. Next story. I didn't know what it was called until much later, but this is how it happened. I was living in a house in Laguna Beach that had been there since the 1920s. In its history, it had been a speakeasy, a brothel, and a house for smuggling illegal immigrants. One day, my new wife and I were having an argument. I can't even recall what it was about. She walked down the block to get a cup of coffee and cool off, and I was alone in the house. The way the place was built was incredibly haphazard. There was a bedroom and living room on one side, then a bathroom with two entrances. On the other side of the bathroom was a hallway that had windows in one side and two bedrooms on the other. From my bedroom, I could look across the hall into the bathroom, then through the bathroom and down the other hall. I was standing at my dresser and I just noticed movement out of the corner of my eye and looked down there. There was, and honest to God, this gives me goosebumps just thinking about it, 17 years later, a black figure. It was maybe 3 feet tall and it was only vaguely humanoid. It looked like black scribbles, like someone had scribbled a human shape, but the scribbles moved like electricity arcing. That's the best way to describe it. There was no sound that I could remember. I distinctly remember when I saw it. I wasn't afraid, just like, what? Then it noticed me looking at it. I can't say it turned around. It just focused on me, I guess. Then I was scared. I didn't move, didn't scream, nothing. I was just frozen because it just came at me. It rushed down the hall towards me. I have no idea what it intended. But as soon as it entered the bathroom, the door closest to me just slammed shut on it. Then I screamed. I yelled for my wife. She wasn't home. I went outside into the daylight and didn't go back in until she got home about 10 minutes later. I didn't believe in ghosts. I don't believe it now, but part of me understands that something supernatural happened. And by the way, my wife reminded me that in fact I didn't run outside. She found me standing at the dresser with a shirt on but no pants. Next story. In my late teenage years, I came into some money after my father committed suicide and I received an inheritance from him. At the time of my dad's passing, he and my mom owned a cabin up in Oregon by Mount Bachelor. The cabin had been put up for sale since my mom could no longer afford the payments and renting it out was not covering the payments either. The cabin was set to go on the market for sale in less than a month and was in the process of finalizing all the paperwork with the realtor and the lawyer. So for that month's time, the cabin was not going to be rented out any longer and was going to be vacant. I saw this as a chance to get away for a while and clear my head in light of all the things going on. I quit work, packed up my snowboarding gear, grabbed my dog, and headed up in my dad's car that he had wheeled to me, to the cabin. Now, This was our family cabin that my parents rented out throughout the years when we were not using it. I had keys to the cabin and also had the code for the alarm, so I didn't feel the need to stop at the rental management company and advise them of my stay. This had nothing to do with a coming story, but I felt the need to mention it anyway. My first 2 days at the cabin were normal and nothing out of the unusual happened. Spent my days playing with my dog in the snow, snowboarding, and the evenings playing PlayStation or listening to music, drinking and smoking out on the balcony. I had already stocked up on food, cigarettes, and liquor, so I was pretty much a shut-in, aside from the occasional out to hit the slopes. With my dog as company and DVDs, PlayStation as entertainment, I was quite content and started to feel relaxed after all the drama that had preceded my outing. The cabin itself was two stories. Bottom story had the living room and a side guest bedroom along with a small kitchen. Upstairs had another two bedrooms along with a walkout balcony attached to the master bedroom. Most of my time was spent either in the living room, kitchen, or master bedroom. I never ventured into the other rooms and always kept the doors leading into them shut. Open doors to dark rooms always creeped me out. Anyhow, the third day came around and I was going through my usual routine of playing with my dog. His name was Midnight, by the way, and he has since passed. Playing games and watching DVDs. That day was pretty heavy snowfall, so I didn't feel like trekking down the hill to the main road in my car and decided to stay in. That's when things started getting a bit weird. In our area, there were only two other cabins adjacent to ours, maybe a block away from each other. All other cabins aside from these two were around a mile away from ours. Surrounding us was mostly forest and very tall pine trees. Tall, this is important later on. Both these cabins were empty, and from the past couple of days, I knew that no one was currently staying there. Now that I've given you some background, I'm going to jump into the weirdness. Around midday, while outside with my dog, I noticed what looked like footprints in the snow around the area surrounding our cabin. It was still snowing, so the footprints looked semi-fresh, like someone had been there in the last 20 or 30 minutes before me. I thought maybe someone was staying in the cabin near me that I may not have noticed. Maybe they were shut-ins like me. All right. Whatever, the prints led away from my cabin and they disappeared in the snow towards the denser part of the trees. I disregarded the footprints and went back inside. Nighttime came around and I decided to head to bed. My dog Midnight was laying on the bed with me when I noticed his ears perk up to a standstill listening position. This was followed by him quickly jumping off the bed and running downstairs to the living room. I lay in bed and stayed silent. I was kind of freaked out. I could hear him moving around downstairs, back and forth. After around 5 minutes, he ran back upstairs to me and started to do his doggy dance with a sign that he had to peer, that he wanted to go outside. Shit, well, fine. I can't say no to him, so we both went downstairs to the outside driveway for him to do his thing. Only he didn't want to pee. As soon as we were outside, he started to pull on his leash, trying to drag me to where he wanted to go. He kept looking into the dense part of the trees where the prints had been earlier, but he also kept sniffing the side of the house and looking up towards the roof. After he figured out that I wasn't going to go where he wanted, he sat himself down and just stared into the darkness. A bit unusual for him, but all right, maybe there are forest animals out there that he wanted to chase down. But I didn't want to chance anything, so I pulled him back inside and we both headed back upstairs. Around half an hour later, I was lying in bed when I heard what sounded like hooves walking on my roof. It was only a series of around 6 steps, and I rationalized that it could be a pine cone falling from a tree onto the roof, or maybe a kind-hearted forest animal running around. But here's the thing. The steps seemed to be spaced apart like a man-length stride, so it was really freaking me out. Midnight also heard the noise and was quick to run to the balcony screen door, expecting for me to let him out. All right. You know what? I'm a tough guy, and at the time considered myself to be fairly well-built and strong enough to handle myself. So I grabbed my coat and shoes, along with my cigarettes and flashlight, and went out into the balcony. All right. So as soon as I'm outside, I lit up my cigarettes and started canvassing the roof with my light. Nothing there, and the snow on the top was undisturbed. Weird. Must have been all my head. What about Midnight hearing the noise? Maybe he was feeding off my fear of paranoia. I started to calm down and relax again. By the way, I'm just shaking right now thinking about it. Then my eyes started to adjust to the darkness and I kept smoking and just staring at the stars and the trees next to our cabin. That's when I saw it. In a tree that was a little taller than our cabin and about 20 feet from the balcony, I saw what looked like a man crouched in a squatting position in between two branches. It was squatted on one branch and its arms were extended above its head, holding onto the branch above it. What is that? I wasn't sure if I was really seeing this thing and stood just staring there motionless. I noticed Midnight stand up and start pacing behind me and lightly barking at the same time. The thing still didn't move. I put my cigarette out. I was debating on shining the light in this thing's direction, but something in my head kept screaming not to do that. So I walked backwards to the inside of the room and pulled Midnight with me. Once inside, I locked the door and shone the light in the thing's direction, but there was nothing there. I shut the curtains to the screen door and retreated back to the bed. But later on in the night, I heard light tapping on the screen door like someone was tapping on the glass with their fingers. It was consistent and didn't stop for nearly an hour. Midnight seemed to stare at the door, but he wouldn't go near it anymore. The weirdest part was that I had a feeling like someone was inviting me to open the door. But at the same time, I kept hearing my dad's voice in my head telling me to stay in bed and not do it. I listened to my dad's voice and just stayed where I was. I passed that eventually and woke up in the morning and everything was normal. The rest of the week I spent there was non-eventful and nothing else out of the ordinary happened. I totally admit that it could have been all in my head. A lot of stuff was going on at that time, so I was pretty effed up from all the drama. But deep down inside, I know that it was real.